Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to an extreme edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, Double D. Joining me back is Dangerous Dan Law.
It's extreme!
And joining me as well is Go Thompson. We're dropping the mark for this show because it's just too extreme.
It's just too extreme! Oh my God!
If I wanted to be less extreme, I would be Mark Thompson. But Go Thompson clearly will put you through a table.
Yes, yes.
You can tell by the tone of my voice that you're just table bound.
I totally talked over that entire joke. I'm sorry. Say it again.
No, he got it. No, it was good. We're clear.
It's fine.
I need a retake. I'm like Sid Vicious today.
You jumped off the top rope and broke your leg in half?
Oh, good gracious. Now that was extreme.
It was extremely fucking stupid.
You did it again.
I did it again. It's extreme!
It is extreme today. This will not be on the Brady Hicks. This is a iTunes and Blog Talk Radio exclusive. So the Wednesday night show will, of course, go back on thebradyhicks.com. And again, thank you to Brady Hicks.
Big thank you. 1 week and bang.
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 Bang for your buck. Now, today, as we're looking back at the legacy of ECW and what they brought to the table, what they meant to the history of the business, and to bring that to us, here's just a little trip down memory lane. Now, nothing got me more excited on a late Friday night than hearing that sound, that music starting. And, Mark, what were you saying before we went on air? You said that was like...
Really nothing. That's exactly what the 90s sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you listen to 1995, everything sounds like... Start up your car, it sounded like that. You're going to work, it sounded like that. The internet sounded kind of like that. I mean, you fired up AOL. That's what you heard. It was really the opening to ECW everywhere. So it really epitomizes, I think, what the early 90s, mid 90s sounded like.
It is the epitome, if you will, of the 90s. Yeah, I like that word.
I do like that word.
So, Mark, what was so special? In your eyes, what was so special about ECW? And Dan, you'll be next.
It was such an interesting contrast to what wrestling was at the time. You know, in 1995, it was very stale to the point where ECW, as small and, you know, not good as everyone said it was, changed the way the big companies had to play. I mean, they had to introduce their own hardcore rules, matches, and this, that, and the other thing to steal the thunder because they were afraid of a little bingo hall in Philadelphia.
I agree. Dan, what do you think was so special about ECW?
Just that, the atmosphere of it, how different it was. I mean, Paulie said it best. They couldn't compete on a budget level, so it was different. The way it was shot, the way it looked on WGTW TV channel 19.
Yes.
Just the way it sounded, the interviews that were conducted, the wrestling in the ring at the time. There was nothing for a long time, for years there. There was nothing, in my opinion, that was competing with it. And like you said, WCW and WWE had to step it up, and if not, do the same thing. Steal. They had to go one up on them.
Yeah,
even produce something that was even close. And it was just like you said, you play that music, played the chills. Oh, what's going to happen? Who's going to say what this week?
And that's really what was special about ECW. It was the entire product. Now, I went to shows a lot. I think the summer of 97, I followed them everywhere. They went from Bluebell to Wildwood to, of course, the arena. I was all around. Followed them that entire summer and went into the next year and then kind of got not out of it, but I wasn't following them as regularly. And the thing about ECW, it might have not been a perfectly booked show, but overall you would look at it and say this is really where it is. Just the ideas, I think Paul Heyman is still a genius to this day, everything he did and how he really zeroed in on the strengths and forgot about all the weaknesses. So that to me is what made ECW special. And of course the in-ring product. Now the way they booked the show, you would see Rey Mysterio against Psicosis in a Mexican death match. Then you would see a hardcore match between Raven and Tommy Dreamer. And a lot of guys, CZW kind of gets the idea, but they kind of don't.
No, they don't. Don't.
I said kind of gets the
please
idea.
Don't even closely compare.
We have to be diplomatic.
I remember when ECW, I mean, even when ECW was on TNN, the new TNN, no, it was still TNN at that point. It wasn't new TNN. But even when ECW was on TNN and they aired the show, they still had the weekly show on WGTW.
Yeah.
Channel 19. I just like saying WGTW Channel 19.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, you can't say it without it. It's like my name, first name and last name if you know me. It just goes together. And same with you, Dean. When CZW was airing in that time slot, I tried really hard. I really did for 2-3 weeks there. 2-3 months, excuse me, I tried watching CZW go, oh, it's the same thing. It looks at, yeah, sorry.
Well, they weren't guys that, see, the thing, another thing that made ECW special was it was a band of misfits that either were on their way out or never made it on the East Coast scene and the independents and everything like that. But Shane did, he found success in the NWA before coming to ECW. And then he became the top guy in ECW. And I would say, without a shadow of a doubt, and I think Mark agrees with this, that at one point, probably from 95 to about 98, maybe 99, that Shane Douglas was the top guy in wrestling.
Oh,
would you agree, Mark?
He was like the best heel, he was just like, he was everything you wanted in a wrestler to me. Like,
well,
especially
I agree with
that. The environment that they wrestled in. Because like, one week, Shane Douglas is fighting Taz, who just does chokeholds and suplexes. So it's like more technical match.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shane Douglas has to take on Raven at some point, who will drop toe hold you on a steel chair. You know what I'm saying? The variation of the match that he would have to fight in the course of a year was ridiculous.
I agree with that. Dan sounds like he's in agreement.
Oh, 100%. I mean, that was one of the guys that I was joking saying Shane Douglas. That was one of the guys that I watched. That was one of the guys the first time I stumbled on it accidentally. I've been watching WCW, quote unquote, since probably 89, 90, since a little kid.
Okay.
And for years it was just WWF. Oops, I said the other word. And WCW. Just watching them. And I remember exactly where I was, the position I was in my room, laying on the bed, watching TV, flicking. It was just a night. School wasn't the next day. Flicking through the channels, and there's wrestling on.
Okay, yeah.
Like, what is this? And it was just, I mean, I was 15. I was 14 when I saw ECW for the first time, and it just, what a mind F that was. Like,
yeah.
You're used to watching Nitro and, you know, Monday Night Raw, and then all of a sudden, this was on TV at night. And it was every week after that, same time, same place, bang, bang.
And, you know, I always find it interesting because, like, the quality of it, like, the production quality, like, it always looked like Tommy Dreamer's mom was actually taping the show.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a good point. Before we go a little bit further, I just do want to get our number out there if anybody wants to call in and join. So here it is.
To get in the cell, call in at 718-664-9133. Again, that is 718-664-9133.
And that's a little, what should I say? That's a little 90s as well. That bumper. Anyway, we were on a roll and then I kind of lost my train of thought after listening to the awesomeness of that bumper.
Really, I think the bumper is a great segue too, because I was what I wanted to talk about, the end featurette of
yes.
ECW.
Yes.
When Rabin's in a boiler room somewhere yelling, Tommy Dreamer's bleeding because that's what he always did. You know, Bubba Ray stuttering in a parking lot. It was fantastic. And the entire time that music's playing, like, that music should remind you of the movie from that era, Pulp Fiction. But no, from time to time you hear it and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I should be sad that, you know, ECW's ending.
Yeah. But ECW, let me get into a little bit of the history about ECW. The origins of ECW really started with the Tri-State Wrestling Alliance, which was owned by Joel Goodhart. And I do want to say that we're very close to getting Joel Goodhart for an interview on the regular Wednesday night show. We are very close. He is, of course, at this point affiliated with ECWA, part of a huge, huge story that's going on there. So we're very close to getting Joel. And we can talk about, like, the beginnings of Tri-State Wrestling and all that. Goodhart sold his share to financial backer Todd Gordon. That was in 1991. It was renamed Eastern Championship Wrestling. It had NWA backing at that point. Eddie Gilbert was brought in as the booker at the time. And then after falling out with Gilbert, Gordon brought in Paul Heyman, and that was in 1993. And then at that point, from 93 on, the early days of ECW, you had a lot of older guys that were on their way out. And you had Don Morocco on a lot of the cards. You had Jimmy Snuka. Terry Funk was there. And, of course, Terry Funk lasted for another 20 years, I think, in the business after that.
Yeah, pretty much.
But so you had a lot of guys. And then what Heyman did when he came in was start bringing in guys – The never-dos, if you will. The guys that never had a chance. You had Taz was brought in. Sabu was brought in, even though he was part of the early days as well. Shane was brought in. So you had a lot of guys that were brought in that formed the very basis, the crux, if you will, of what ECW became. Of course, one of the first big shows where ECW got its first people started taking notice of what was going on with ECW was the night the line was crossed. And that was a triple threat match that went to an hour time limit draw. It was between Terry Funk, Sabu, and Shane Douglas. Now, have either of you ever seen that match, number one? And if you did, what were your thoughts on it?
No, I'll be honest with you. I've heard about it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, same here, man. I've never had a chance to see that match.
It's hard to find. You can find bits and pieces of it on YouTube. And the thing about that match, it was It was the first time in a triple threat all three guys put on a sleeper hold. There were some new innovating things that happened in that match.
Are there a few clips of it on the ECW DVD that WWE put out?
Yeah, the Rise and Fall.
Because I remember seeing some of that.
Yeah, it was on the Rise and Fall. That was like their first moment. That's when the dirt sheet started saying, hey, what's going on at ECW is really special. And that's when things started taking notice. Paul Heyman, of course, was brought in, and instead of trying to, you know, sell out a bar somewhere in Philly, they would go with, they would go with their strengths, and they moved to the arena around that time, and just a lot of exciting things. Yeah, a lot of exciting things started happening there. So the early days, I'm not sure if you guys are really up on the early days, like the Snuka era, and all that. But what do you think? What do you think of the early days?
That sounds pretty boring.
Go ahead, Mark.
For me, ECW, and this is like when I know it from. It's really all about that tournament with Shane Douglas.
The tournament is where Eastern Championship Wrestling became Extreme Championship Wrestling, and we do have a clip of that.
Awesome.
The promo that Shane threw down the title belt. So here it is.
You are one hell of a competitor, and I will not be a champion at high. I stand here before God and my Father in heaven tonight, as I said I would be world heavyweight champion. Of Jack Briscoe, of the Briscoe brothers, of Dory Funk Jr., of Terry Funk, the man who will never die. This is good tonight, Dad. God, that's beautiful. And Rick Steamboat and they can all kiss my ass.
What in the hell is he doing?
Because I am not the man who accepts the torch to be handed down to me from an organization that died, R.I.P., 7 years ago. The franchise, Shane Douglas, is the man who ignites the new flame of the sport of professional wrestling.
That's the ECW belt.
Before God and my Father as witness, I declare myself, the franchise, as the new ECW Heavyweight Champion of the World!
Shane Douglas declaring himself
we have set out
ECW
to
World
the
Champion
of professional wrestling! So tonight, let the new era begin. The era of the sport of professional wrestling. The era of the franchise. The era of the ECW.
simultaneously, Shane Douglas wins the crowd over, spits in their face, and then wins them back over. It's the best 3 minutes ever. He basically is Hulk Hogan, Rick Rude, and then boom, there it is, the birth of Shane Douglas. Do you know what I'm saying? He's a hero. He's then the worst villain ever because he goes, oh, everyone that's ever existed in wrestling, just kidding, you're terrible. You're terrible. And he by the way, the whole idea of being the franchise is such an arrogant, like, self-centered, it's just such a great gimmick. And, like, it's been, like, it's not like it's not, like, an original idea, you know? But it's, there's something about his delivery of it just right then and there just, like, hooks you.
And as, yeah, even to this day, after last night, he still does have the promo skills, I will say that. The fans were giving him a little, they were saying, F you Shane, when he came out last night. Why?
Yes.
We'll get into that.
no, right now, I want to know now!
The show was oddly booked, is the best way I can put it.
All right, I'll let you do it later, I'm sorry.
It was a very oddly booked show, but the fans were giving it to him, and he turns around. And he says, look, I work you guys. You don't work me. And just with that, he won over probably half the crowd right then and there.
Nice.
And see, that's the one thing about Shane. Of course, from that point on, from I believe that was 1994, the NWA title tournament where he threw down the title and pretty much announced in the era of Extreme. From that point on, it was all Shane Douglas. I mean, you had Terry Funk, you had Sabu, you had Taz that eventually won the title. But it was pretty much Shane Douglas's. He was the franchise. It wasn't just a gimmick with Shane Douglas. He was really the franchise at that point.
That's the beauty of the character he played. He was absolutely right.
Yeah, and he lived that character. You know, from the time he probably got into his car to drive to Philadelphia to the time he left, he was the franchise. Troy Martin, you know, did not exist, and it was all Shane Douglas from that point. So from the title tournament, things started turning up the heat. Things were really were quite amazing for a time. And we do have a caller, so I'm going to chime them in. And
no, we're chiming.
Okay, hello, caller. You're live with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Just state your name and where you're from.
I'm Matt, and I'm from New Jersey.
Okay, Matt. What's going on? What do you have to share with us?
Well, I went to the event last night, and I saw on Twitter that you guys wanted people to call in and chat with you, so I decided to vent some of my frustrations, if that was cool.
You certainly can. We're going to get into the results a little bit later on, but it's your floor right now, caller. How do you feel about the show? What happened last night?
Well, I feel it was just ridiculous. Like, The whole thing, like, before it even started, was I could tell it was just going to be, like, it was going to be bad news. Because they did the intro, and the tribute to the wrestler who passed away, that was well done.
Yeah.
But right after it, they, like, aired that, they aired the old intro from Hardcore TV, and the sound didn't work. And then they aired the Douglas promo, and the sound didn't work. And I was like, oh, great, it's already starting already. It's already going to be terrible. And then right after that, this dude on his iPad shows us that the news that Sabu was rushed to the hospital. And I was like, are you kidding me? So, like, first two people I really wanted to see last night now are off the show. That was Rhino and Sabu. And I'm just wondering, how are they even going to pull this off? And
yeah.
Everybody in our area was just like, this is ridiculous, because they all, that's what everybody wanted, you know?
Yeah, there certainly were some problems. Now, how did you feel, though, about the Jerry Lynn match with Devin Storm? Do you feel that saved the show at least?
I don't feel it saved the show, but I do. It was without a doubt the best match on the show, but, like, I didn't want to see Jerry Lynn versus Devin Storm. You know, I was really excited to see Just Incredible versus Jerry Lynn.
Yeah, unfortunately, Just Incredible, it's reported he was not in shape. He passed out backstage.
Yeah, I read that. But did you
is
go
this
on
the guy? Is this the same guy on E360 was not talking not so nicely about the Scott Hall incident when he was no in shape backstage?
The same, yeah, same guy.
Oh, okay, that's funny. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, no, if you go on his Twitter, he posted a picture of Sabu, like, the night before, slumped over in a chair. What were you saying?
No, go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
It was just funny because it's like, wow, like, if only we saw this earlier. Like, it was so ridiculous. I was just so bummed out. Like, I lost a lot of respect for Credible and definitely for Credible. But that Sabu, I'm not – I mean, I've had an allergic reaction to medication before, and all you do is throw up. You're not unresponsive. So I kind of lost him. I mean, I'm not going to, like, say I lost respect for him too much yet.
Mm-hmm.
Still, like, more details are released, but as of right now, definitely lost some respect for him.
Really, you lost respect for him when he was Aldo Montoya, though. Let's be honest.
Yeah. When he went back, to doing Aldo Montoya, kind of killed me a little bit.
Okay, now the last question that I do want to ask you: overall, how did you feel? I know you said you were disappointed, but overall, once the night was over, you were leaving the the Pennsylvania National Guard Armory. When you left, what was the impression you had of the show?
My impression was I'm going to try and get my money back or free tickets to the next one. And even if I got free tickets to the next one, I don't think I'd show up. And I don't think anybody should support it because it's ridiculous. Like the angles last night, like, what, Kevin Sullivan and Todd Gordon, are you serious? And I don't even know who it was, but that dude who was like, cut that promo with the Target t-shirt and then interrupted in the BWO match, and then they didn't do anything with him at the end of the night. Like, I'm definitely not ever going to another Shane Douglas promotion ever again.
You know, as much as I hate to agree with you. I will not be showing up on June the 30th. Matt, it was
Shane Douglas. Shane Douglas is one of my favorites, and his work is great, but he cannot run a show for his life, in my honest opinion.
Yeah. Matt, it was a pleasure. Thanks for calling in. you're welcome to call in anytime. Our usual time slot is Wednesdays at 9:30. And this week we have John Finnegan, former ECW official, will be on. And
I can't wait to talk to this guy.
So
give a call in, ask Finnegan a question, and thanks for calling in, Matt.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Well, can I have your tickets, please? I haven't been doing. I lost the pictures. I lost any memory of this, except for in my mind, but I was at one of the last ECW shows at the arena, and I haven't been to an independent wrestling promotion since.
Well, you certainly should try to make your way up. We have, you know, we talk about two promotions a lot on the show, so we talk about ECWA. They have their next show, pardon me. They have their next show coming up May 5th, big show. Papadon, of course, will be on the show this coming Wednesday as well. He's wrestling Kakoa. And, of course, we always talk about New Moon Rising Wrestling. They have a show May 6th. So next weekend's a big weekend for me.
I'll tell you what, and I just wanted to get back on the track. That moment, I never saw that moment, the Shane Douglas. What is it referred to now?
What, the Shane Douglas when he threw down the NWA title?
The day Extreme started or so. I never saw any footage of that until, you know, they started showing it when ECW was closing down. And that has got to be one of the top five moments in wrestling.
In my opinion. I can really agree with that.
And then, again, that changed the game. As far as that that day, that promo, and that company that just changed the game. End of the story.
Well, you know, there's a lot of promos that went around. What I want to play right now is probably one of the best promos I have ever heard, and here we go.
When I saw my saving grace, you see, Tommy, I looked out into that audience, my adoring crowd, and I saw two simple words that changed my life. Kane Dewey. Somebody had taken the time and the effort and the thought to make a sign that said Kane Dewey. And I saw other people around as every moment in my life stopped and focused in on that sign. And the pain that shot through my body became a distant memory, replaced by the pain that will be embedded in my skull till my dying day. Kane Dewey. Kane Dewey. Dewey Foley is a 3-year-old boy. You sick sons of bitches! You ripped out my heart! You took everything I believed in and you flushed it down the damn toilet! You flushed my heart! You flushed my soul! And now it sickens me to sit back and see other people making the same mistake! You see, Tommy Dreamer, I gotta listen to my little boy! Every day of my life, see, Daddy, I miss Atlanta, and I say it's too bad, son, because your dad traded in the Victorian house for a sweatbox in Long Island. Your dad traded in $100,000 contract, guaranteed money, insurance, respect, and the name on the dotted line of the greatest man in the world to work for a scumbag who operates out of a little pissant pawn shop in Philadelphia. You don't expect me to be bitter. Tommy, when you open up your heart, when you open up your soul, and it gets on, it tends to make Jack a very mean boy.
All right, Dan.
Mick Foley, Mankind was always one of my favorite wrestlers, but going back, you know, because I joined the ECW train, as I said, later on, and seeing that always put him in one of the top three. I love Mick Foley. That promo, if that doesn't send chills up to your spine, you have no soul. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Again, I was not privy to that while it was happening, you know, as it happened. That's one of those things I had to live through in the past. But that, and many other promos that he did were the promo he did with the tag team titles, the WCW.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Classic is not the word for it. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think Foley's promos when he was really a part of ECW were probably the best promos in the history of the business.
I'm not alone
thinking that. You know, people in the business think that.
And he always – I don't have the words for it. I'm speechless, and I'm also watching a hockey game. So it's just Good, Mark.
It's one of those things where he actually had the freedom to be the character that he always envisioned, you know?
Yeah. Like, and I think without ECW, Mick Foley would have not been able to find that for the WWF. You know what I mean? I think the ECW was a necessary step for Mick Foley as a character, and Mick Foley was a necessary step for ECW. I mean, the matches he's had with Funk, the promos. Ugh.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Very briefly, we're going to get into – well, not very briefly. We're probably going to talk about the results a little bit from last night. I do have Ryan Big Red. He's going to join us for a little bit here.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, so Ryan Big Red, you're on the air. First of all, what's your overall impression of the card from last night?
Ooh, tough question to start me off. I see how it is.
yeah.
First thing,
we don't screw around.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Flyers are up 2-1. I'm doing wonderful.
Well, that is also a wonderful thing. Thank you for telling me the score, because I'm post the game so I can call you guys. But
there you go.
As far as last night, it looked like it was going to be a good card on paper. I thought it was going to be a great show. My first DCW experience like that, live at least. All in all, I would say probably an average show.
Okay.
It ended up being about an average show. Oh, and may I just say, Mankind, definitely one of the best promos that they've ever done.
Yeah,
that
there
was in ECW. He was probably the best at it in ECW for him, and I'd say even Austin. Austin got to start with ECW, really, if you think about it, as far as like building his promos, building up his character. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He had a few classics where he, you know, made fun of Mongo, who I think should be in the Hall of Fame.
Mongo. Oh, jeez.
Mongo 2012. My Twitter campaign did not work this year, so it's Mongo 2013. Hashtag.
Keep fighting the fight.
Next you're going to be saying, Dean, you want Tony Schiavone in the Hall of Fame, too. I mean, come on.
I wouldn't mind that. Schiavone was pretty big. But we're getting off topic. The results. It started out with Sabian and Ruckus from CZW coming out and having a dark match with the Dramatics. I had to look that up, find out who the hell they were.
Yeah,
I
didn't know who they were either. That was big. I couldn't really understand what they were saying because everybody was so dumbfounded.
Yeah, so the Dramatics came out, beat Sabian and Ruckus. And, of course, before that even happened, we had Bob Ortiz, the classic ECW announcer, announce Larry Legend to announce the match. And I was like, what's going on? Why is Larry Legend getting in here? Isn't this an extreme reunion? Who the hell is Larry Legend to be getting in the ring? So I was a little taken aback by that. A little taken aback by...
I agree. It was definitely perplexing.
Well, what I think it is, I don't think Shane could probably get his Pennsylvania Commission license. And they used, I forget his name right now offhand, but they used the guy that helps out DJ Hyde. Maven Bentley. That's his name.
Maven Bentley, that's it, yep.
So they get Maven Bentley there to get the PA Commission license. So it became a Shane Douglas with Maven Bentley show. Homicide showed up later in the show. It just, a lot of stuff didn't make sense. Homicide has probably right now the most angles going at one time concurrently in independent wrestling. He has something going up in WXW, in the UWF. He has stuff going on in CZW, and now he has something going on with the Extreme Reunion. So the Dramaticas beat Sabian and Ruckus to start out the show.
Didn't he have an angle started with the Smoke Cup?
Yeah, WXW. Pay attention, I move quick. I move quick, Big Red.
You really are, man. You are all about the business, I'm telling you.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I move quick. So, yeah, I had the idea to start the show on the 12th, and by the 18th, we're on the air. I move quick. Now, anyway, then we had this promo. I don't even know who the guy's name was. I saw it. It was on PWInsider.com. And he comes out, cuts a promo, pretty much was just cursing up a storm, wanted Shane Douglas to come out, then he was chased off. There was some...
Target dude was kind of weird. It was. I didn't understand. I thought for a second there he was going to plug Target, you know, shop at Target, and you know, maybe they're down the street or something. I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea.
We had an Asian in there cut a promo, thanking everyone for...
Nobody understood what the heck he was saying because he was just... I think he actually wasn't even speaking English, so.
And then some bald guy. I don't even know who the hell he was, but whatever. So we had an odd promo to, you know, kick things off as well. Then we finally get into the reunion part of the show. The FBI defeats BWO by pinfall when that Target guy comes back and distracts Stevie Richards. So what'd you think of that match? Last night you were saying you thought that was a pretty well-done match.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was great to see the FBI. It was great to see the BWO. I think Stevie looked phenomenal.
Was it Terry's mother's?
Terry's mother.
He wasn't there.
Oh, no.
He backed out. He said he's done with the business.
Oh, man, he was my favorite.
I said that last night to Dean. I was like, I wonder where Terry Smothers is.
So
he was always my favorite in that group.
Oh, yeah. there was no Tommy Rich, no big fat guy with him, and no Tracy Smothers. So it was Tony Marmaluke and Little Guido. So it was good.
It was the half-assed FBI.
Well, but it was good seeing Little Guido, you know, and the fans were into that match.
Yes.
They were into that match, you know, where's my pizza, Meanie ate it, that sort of thing going on. So
the funniest chance of the night.
It was fun seeing them back in the ring in the BWO. I was a little perplexed.
Pizza.
Yeah, I was a little perplexed by the placement of that match, but whatever, got the crowd into it. Then,
I think that's all they wanted to do. I think that was a match that was meant to kind of get the crowd back into it after all the confusion of the promo and Target Dude and all that kind of stuff.
Now we have the first match where I believe the train started coming off the rails. C.W. Anderson defeated Al Snow by pinfall. Basically, this was... I wish I could say something differently, but it fell off the rails completely.
How bad was that match?
It was about 20 minutes of a 15-minute rest hold.
Al Snow, really?
Yeah. Al Snow.
They were both pretty out of shape.
Was C.W. Anderson the problem?
No, it was really both guys.
It was a mix of both. It really honestly was.
It was really Leif Garrett's fault?
It was.
It was Leif Garrett's fault.
It was the Avatar's fault, yeah.
Nice. Nice, nice.
The sad truth is, when the best part of the match happens after the match is over, when Al Snow beats up the head, that, you know, you got a problem.
Yeah, Al Snow, after the match, he came out. And he called the head a whore, and, you know, he let the other wrestler put his hands all over and stuff like that. So... and then he superplexed.
Did Al Snow just not physically look good, or?
I don't think he's wrestled in a while. I know he's in TNA
He's been a road agent. I haven't seen him. I guess the last match that I know of. I don't even think he did wrestle. Did he wrestle Hardcore Justice for TNA?
No.
I don't think he did.
Yeah. So he's older. You know, what can you say? So that's where the train started getting derailed. It was followed up by Axel Rotten defeating Balls Mahoney after one of the weakest, yes, I said weakest, DDTs on a chair I have ever seen in my life.
It was pretty bad. It really was.
You know what the shame of that is? I feel like the DDT is pretty much like a no-brainer. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, you grab the guy's head and you drop to the mat and don't kill him.
So... It was what it was. They bled. It was the first blood of the match of the evening.
First blood of the night. You're right.
So they had cheese graters and all the spots and whatever. I was expecting
like
them. Ryan.
I was going to say, like I said last night, you know, for what it was, which was basically just to get a little blood flowing, and in this case, literally. That's really what the whole point of the match was. And for that, they accomplished what they were there to accomplish. I didn't expect it to be any kind of a classic or, you know, an oh-my-God kind of match. I just expected it to be a little bit of blood flow, some crazy shots with, like, a chair or something. And that's really all I expected, and it lived up to the bill, at least.
Well, it did. I still don't like seeing unprotected chair shots to the head, even in this day, even with that crowd.
So.
You know, we know a lot about concussion syndrome and all that. So, not too impressed with it. Personally, for me, it was a letdown. I was hoping what would have happened would have been Balls and Axel say, why are we wrestling each other? We were one of the greater tag teams in ECW. Let's put down the chairs. Let's call out the gangsters. Didn't happen, though.
Honestly, I thought they were trying to do that. I don't know why they didn't pick up a mic when they tried to cut a promo. They're asking everybody to be quiet, and some of the morons that were drunk, a.k.a. the guy in the Flyers shirt that was, like, right in front of us, who was just...
Philly!
Ooh, wow, that guy was an idiot. But being all loud and obnoxious, and so none of us heard him and could tell what the heck they were saying.
Yeah, but that's a Philly crowd. I think, you know, for your first ECW experience, you had it a little easy. I would say.
I probably agree. You're probably right.
No, I know I'm right, because I saw a Boy Scout troop. Listen, I saw a Boy Scout leader with his Boy Scouts in attendance get his ass kicked when they were throwing out the styrofoam heads for an Al Snow match back in 98. So, I've seen a little bit of everything. I was there for a riot in Bluebell, Pennsylvania.
That story.
So I've seen a lot. Coming up next was Angel of the Baldies cut a promo, and I had to look that up because I didn't know who the hell he was. So Angel of the Baldies cuts a promo. The gangsters hit the ring and beat the crap out of them. More blood was flowing from an obvious blade job. And,
I called that out to you. I said, "Up, you just bladed." And and then we just saw that literally the blade was sitting right there in the ring. It was pretty obvious.
Yeah, he dropped it. And then Sabian and Ruckus hit the ring and brawled with the gangsters. It ends in a no contest.
And the way it ended, too, it was just all of a sudden that they just started walking away. It was really weird.
Sabian and Ruckus leave. So you have an angle being there. I don't know, maybe for the next show that nobody will go see because they were so disappointed, they'll continue this angle. But I have no idea. There's going to be a CZW crossover. DJ Hyde was involved as well.
And
go
what
ahead,
Ryan. DJ Hyde?
DJ Hyde came out and cut a promo.
No. What is DJ Hyde?
Oh, I'm
not,
I'm not
what,
saying.
Who?
Yeah, I'm not saying right now. We have to stay for certain things coming up in the future. We have to stay.
He's a good guy. No, he's a really good guy. And if you listen to our other show, Tony Lane's show, you'll hear that we always talk nice about him.
Yeah. We certainly.
Yeah, anyway, let's move on from that one.
Thank you, Ryan.
So then coming up next was...
Well, I was going to say, well, real quick, what I was going to say is I think the highlight of the match was if you even want to call it a match, the no contest, whatever you want to call it, was when some fan threw a bottle of water at Sabian, and they literally had to rush him to the back with, like, five people to keep him from just absolutely beating the crap out of the guy who threw it.
The thing about Sabian that mystifies me, he's about 5'3", but the
really
guy looks... He looks like he could really kill you.
Oh, I wouldn't put it... Honestly, I he's the new version of New Jack, I think. I think he would kill you.
I think he would take out some type of hedge clippers and just slice your throat.
I think honestly, he would kill a nun for looking at him wrong. Okay?
Wow. There you go. Ryan scores. Right.
Oh, Jesus!
So we got... The next match, another no contest. Raven.
Wow, Raven showed up.
He didn't wrestle, though. So Raven against Pitbull Gary Wolf, it never starts. Raven cuts a very long promo.
Raven, nevermore.
Raven, I think Raven spent more time shaking hands and signing autographs for the 2 hours we had to wait for the show to start.
Yeah, Raven comes out.
In the ring.
Did he perhaps come out to a Smashing Pumpkins song?
No, he came out to his the other one. Got to keep them separated.
Oh,
that's
the
Offspring. That's
Offspring by
Offspring. Yeah.
Thank you.
So that never starts. Raven has a new flock apparently. The only one that I can remember is Cripple H. He was, legitimately a handicapped individual who needed crutches.
Wait a minute. They had the flock there and nobody asked Scotty Riggs to show
up?
Yeah,
it wasn't really. I wouldn't even call that a flock. I think I would call that more like a half flock.
Yeah,
it was pretty bad.
Nobody
was,
asked
like
Scotty.
Was it like a pirate or something?
Yeah, he had the skinny pirate and the fat guy. And
so nobody asked Scotty Riggs to show up?
No, I think he's off. I don't know.
His Twitter. He's definitely active.
I was going to make a Scotty, not a Scotty Riggs, but a Buff Bagwell joke, but that's better left unsaid.
Dude.
Isn't Buff Bagwell, like, in a pie-eating contest next week in Salem County?
Obviously, Mark does not know that Buff Bagwell was involved in a terrible car accident. And right now, he's on a feeding tube, Mark. You sick bastard.
Here you go. Here's my inappropriate joke to answer that. Well, at least maybe he'll lose some weight now.
Oh! Yes, Mark.
I think my joke was just tough. Very much tough.
I think his mom is now on a weight loss program.
Oh, his mom. Remember that.
Judy Bagwell. Okay, go ahead.
Memories. Then we have the only saving grace, really, of the show. Jerry Lynn pinned Devin Storm, who did replace just incredible.
You forgot something about the Raven angle. You forgot.
I don't care. Sandman
came out.
If I wanted to make note of it, I would have.
We don't like Hack.
Hack comes out and, you know, does his whole long intro thing and opens a beer in front of us and whatever.
That was the only reason I wanted to bring it up, just because he opened it in front of us. I thought that was pretty cool.
It's all about you,
Ryan.
It
really was a waste of time. Absolutely.
Yes.
You know how we go.
So anyway, go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I was going to say, you don't like Hack?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's not a fan of Hack.
When you say Devin Storm, do you mean Crowbar?
Yes, Crowbar.
Oh, I love that guy. How'd he look?
He looked great.
He
looked great.
Dude, I love Crowbar. It always pissed me off that he never signed anywhere. I was at a SmackDown right after WCW closed down, and he did the opening dark match and blew the roof off that place. And then, oh, my God, they never signed him. It pissed me off.
Here's the thing about Crowbar. This is the second time that I've seen Crowbar wrestle.
Same.
That saved the show. In 2002, there was an infamous show. I forget the name of the promotion. Road Warrior Animal actually ran the show.
Yes.
He was the booker. It was at the Sandcastle.
Yes.
And it was probably one of the worst shows in the history of booking a show. And what happened? Who has Echo? It's bugging me.
I don't know. Now batting number 55.
That's what it sounded like. But anyway, he saved the show. He wrestled Sabu on that card, and that saved the show. And then last night, Jerry Lynn and him put on an amazing match. Easily 4.5 stars to 5 stars.
Really?
Yes.
I think it was a 5-star.
And
I
how is
he
not signed?
That was 5-star.
How is he not signed by anybody?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I know he works in the medical field. And he's not a doctor, but he's like, I think he's a nurse.
Probably, yeah.
And that's not the only time. I wasn't there, obviously, because it was in Australia. But remember WWA?
Yeah.
He wrestled Sabu out there, too. And they, again, probably had the best match on that card. I mean, it was basically WCW version 2, and they had the best match on the card.
He has that type of ability. So he replaces Justin Credible, and I was personally excited about that. The caller from earlier did not agree. He wanted to see Justin Credible for some reason. But
I would have been okay. I mean, honestly, if Justin Credible was on it, I would have been okay with it. And the fact that he wasn't, I was okay with that, too.
Yeah,
Devin Storm. It didn't matter either way to me.
You talk a lot, Ryan. Jerilyn cut a promo afterwards. It's his last year in wrestling, and he thought the fans were amazing because they really came back around and supported him. And it was a good moment. And easily, I wouldn't know if I wouldn't say it saved the card, but it certainly did help. Shane Douglas then comes out, cuts a promo, says that Sabu's in the hospital. That you know, I'm not going to BS anybody. But the thing is, if he's not going to BS anybody, why didn't he make the announcement earlier in the show? But whatever.
He was looking for a lie. That's why.
Yeah, I don't know. So he said, look, we don't have any reports yet. So instead, I want to relive a moment. And we talked about that moment earlier. He wrestles Too Cold Scorpio in a surprise match. Basically, I'm not sure if it would have been better with Sabu, but I like this match.
I was going to say, how did Scorpio look?
Scorpio still has it. Ryan, how would you describe it?
Let's just put it this way. Scorpio, he might not have been able to do the 450, but he could definitely at least do 360. I mean,
yeah,
you know, he definitely still had it. Definitely could do it.
He might have lost 180 degrees, but he still...
90 degrees. He lost 90 degrees, but he still has, his, you know, he still has 360 left to go.
I thought it was very passable.
That's when you know you're losing it, when you lose just 180 of your degrees.
Listen, if Devin Storm's going to be on a wrestling card, though, I'm going to go try seeing it.
You know, Devin Storm, he definitely should be signed by somebody. People should look at him because he really still has it. I'm guessing he's past the age of 40. He's probably pushing 45 at this
38,
point.
1974.
Oh, well, there you go. He's still out.
Someone's a little too intimately knowledgeable of Devin Storm.
Yeah, he's in my bed right now resting.
I now knew Dan's man crush.
No, that's not my man crush. But
Cole
anyway,
Hamels is my man crush, by the way.
My man crush right now is Claude Giroux.
I have to say, I'm probably right there with Claude at this point.
Yeah, see? We have a nice... Ugly three-way. Ugh.
Oh.
God.
Isn't that a six-way, though?
No, it's a five-way, because it's two big guys and a real small guy.
What, Sabian's involved somehow?
I'm out.
I rock a
peak,
and I looked up his birth date, because I was trying to find out why the hell, if there was an incident or something, why he wasn't signed somewhere, but of course he's clean.
He was probably the cleanest of anybody involved in that. Him and Jerry Lynn were probably
say,
the cleanest.
The Balls Mahoney promo-ish type thing he did before the show started was actually pretty funny.
Well, he just came outside with the fans to smoke a cigarette and said he was clean.
Who?
Balls.
Oh, yeah, bullshit.
Debatable. Yeah. So the Douglas Cold Scorpio match, it had a few angles in it. Kevin Sullivan interfered. He was under a mask. That's right, Kevin Sullivan.
Really?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And
how old is Kevin Sullivan right about now? Is he like 80, 85? I mean, he looked
in my bed, too. Let me ask.
And Todd Gordon, of course, interfered.
Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen to the silence. So
exactly. He's 62.
Yeah, basically.
Kevin
Sullivan's
62.
Yeah, he definitely was looking it, that's for sure.
So Todd Gordon also interfered. And Shane Douglas wins with a modified, saying it nicely, a modified sunset flip.
So did it look great.
Modified team is definitely an understatement.
So physically, how did he look wrestling-wise? How did he look?
He's lost a few steps, too. He kept his shirt on. You know the fat people that go to the swimming pool during the summer and they keep their shirt on?
Me.
This one, jerk.
Everyone I'm talking to probably keeps their shirt.
Actually, I do not. I am not above.
Poor audience, Dean.
I am not above wives and children. I'm just saying.
So my core audience, everyone that keeps their shirt on when they go swimming.
Listen, Folsom County, I know where you live, dude. Okay.
You sounded winded after you said that.
I got tired. I stood up.
So, Ryan, overall impression, now that we've gone through it.
The overall impression tonight, I thought it was a good show. You know, was it what you built it up to be? What I was expecting? No. But was it what some fans were trying to make it out to be? No. You know, it was a good show. It wasn't the best in the world. It wasn't the worst in the world. And if they had more Jerry Lynn's type, you know, performers there with more matches like that, I probably would consider going again. But other than that, I'm not going to spend any extra money.
Yeah, being completely diplomatic about it, I would say living through the original ECW, being second row for Born to Be Wired, the magic is not really there anymore. Oh, yeah, yeah. The magic is not there anymore. Okay. But it was still great to see the guys that I once cheered. And, you know, maybe Shane shouldn't be involved in wrestling anymore. I don't know.
You can't go home, Dean.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. But I would call it not extreme reunion, extreme disappointment. And I think anybody involved with the show, if they looked at it with clear eyes, they with sober eyes, they would say the same thing.
Well, I think that's part of the problem right there. I don't know how many of them were actually sober. That's part of the problem.
I think the only two were Jerry Lynn and Devin Storm. Everybody else, I think, and Shane. Shane was probably okay. But I don't know. And Scorpio, but I don't know.
Well, that's probably because Scorpio didn't have time to crack back a few.
Yeah, but I don't know. But Ryan, I do thank you for joining us.
Ryan, it was a pleasure.
We're going to get on with the rest of the show. Any last words, Ryan?
I do want to just ask real quick, because I didn't realize you guys were starting earlier today, or else I would have been listening sooner. What was your favorite ECW matches?
Haven't got there yet, so you're
I haven't got there yet. Well, then just real quick throw mine out there. I would have to say, I mean, you can pretty much pick any of the RVD Jerry Lynn matches. Pretty much all of them are great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely I would agree, but... Ryan, thank you for joining, and we'll have you on pretty soon. So thanks for listening, and we'll get back with you because next weekend we have a couple shows coming up. So
yes, we do. That'll be a blast. So be ready for a very good large dose of Big Red for this weekend.
And may I just say I would have planned to join you definitely, but I have tickets to a Phillies game.
Oh.
So I'm not going.
Yes, they're, well, okay. Are they going to be in Washington, I'm assuming?
Oh, yes, they are.
Make sure you guys cheer the hell out of the Phillies. You know, boom,
yeah,
boom.
Well, I hope. No, I hope they win because I think Washington's got our number. But anyway, yes, Dean, hey.
No, I was just going to say they do have another show June 2nd, and Adam Cole will be part of that. So, ECW.
Is it in Delaware?
Yeah, Newark, Delaware.
Yeah, tell him. Okay, well, see, so at least it's not all the way up in Jersey. I will plan for that, June
2nd. Yeah, Bandito makes his return, and Adam Cole will also be on the card June 2nd at the ECWA Arena.
Yeah!
So, moving on. So, extreme disappointment for the Extreme Reunion. Very oddly booked show.
Really hoping that would get some
momentum.
Press. Yeah. Because we're talking about this, quite frankly, when I started saying at the beginning about how different it was and how I discovered it, I'm like, I miss that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
It's good if you go back there just thinking that you're going to see nostalgia. If you look at it like a Major League Baseball Legends game, for example, when you go there, you don't expect Mike Schmidt to hit 3 home runs. When you go...
You do expect to see his mustache, though.
You do expect the mustache.
Absolutely.
So that is, but that's a good point. You don't expect the 2 home runs, but you expect to see something that brings back a memory. And it did bring back memories. It was a fun time, but not the best card.
It
still not
like
the worst card I've seen this year. But
it looks like it looked like it was a pretty well attended show as well.
Oh, it was a sellout, standing room only. 2,100 people is the estimated attendance.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. They certainly did standing room only. When I say that, people were literally standing.
That's crazy.
It was a bit of a fire hazard, but that's nothing new for ECW. But
sounds perfect. Then
I'm gonna play the bumper, and we'll be right back.
To get in the cell, call in at 718-664-9133. Again, that is 718-664-9133.
Okay, so we're back.
Are we back? Oh, God.
Yeah, that quick.
Listen,
that
before we go on to your outline, I do want to, before we go, if it's not on your outline, I do want to talk about the building.
Oh, ECW Arena, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean towards the end, because like a fitting end.
Tribute, if you will.
What?
A fitting tribute, if you will.
A fitting tribute, like for the WCCW, when they talk about that, the last thing you talk about is the building and it's not being there anymore.
Yeah. Okay, I guess to move on then, I'm going to play this clip. It was a very memorable moment, so here we go.
I got no part of it.
Yeah. I don't think the ECW extremely crappy reference got anybody tough. I don't think anybody wants a war with me. Woo-hoo! Look at it. Look at it. Wait a minute. You piece of crap. You're the biggest piece.
Okay, so that was Jerry Lawler invading ECW. Dan, I know you're dying to say something.
This was my only other exposure to the company before, you know, finding it on TV that night. Years it was only a year and a half later, but seeing these guys that you never saw before coming in and invading, like, that was the first time, and I'm not talking about the NWO, that you really had, but you really were watching TV going, is this supposed to happen?
I kind of agree with that. We have someone who may agree with you as well.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Sorry, I had to throw that in.
It's still real to me, damn it!
It's still funny each and every time I play it.
You had Lawler going on TV. Now, again, years later, I never saw that part, but when you had Taz and everybody showing up at the pay-per-view, and it was in Philly...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, as young as I was, thinking, this is not supposed to be happening. Mom, look at this! Explaining to everybody, and the parents going, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was really like, all right, well, this is going to be interesting.
Well, of course, years later, we learned that Vince McMahon was actually kind of like a backer to the whole ECW movement.
Well, he had Paulie on his payroll.
Yeah, exactly. So, say what you want, Vince McMahon was behind the product. Of course, he resurrected it and then buried it.
And buried it very, very...
I mean,
at least he didn't do it as quickly as he buried WCW, because he brought that back and just took his steaming shit on it. Like, here's WCW. It's over. 4 months, what was it, like 7 months, and it was gone.
It was about 7 months.
Oh, man. Here, Buff Bagwell's on TV. No, no, now he can't talk.
Yeah. Buff Bagwell's now on a feeding tube. So.
No, he can talk now. He woke up and he can talk.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, I said that earlier. No, he listens to the fat guy.
Well, there was another fat guy on.
No, but like, and then and that how many weeks did that initial invasion carry on? Because then they showed up on Raw.
Well, there were two different invasion angles. That they run. There was the original one in late 96, and then Jerry Lawler. That kind of ran into the Jerry Lawler coming to ECW.
That's what I meant. Well, okay, so it's not the same one technically.
Not technically. Jerry Lawler showing up. I was actually there the next time he showed up. It was supposed to be a cage match. It was Jerry Lawler, RVD, and Sabu, and it was going to be against Tommy Dreamer, Sandman, and a mystery opponent.
Uh-oh.
The mystery opponent turned out to be Rick Rude.
Wow.
But Rick Rude quickly turned heel right after that. And attacked Beulah, broke her nose on the cage door.
And then Tommy Dreamer started bleeding.
He did, actually.
Beep.
But I was in attendance for that. That whole angle is probably what started me really seeking it out, because to see Lawler in the ring and actively, and then Lawler, of course, after that, he was on the pay-per-view. I believe it was Heat Wave, where he wrestled Jerry Lawler, Tommy Dreamer, and Tommy Dreamer bled again. And but yeah, I mean,
like a drinking game.
But Mark, what do you have to say about the whole angle?
Oh, is bleeding, not bleeping. I got you.
Yeah, bleeding, bleeding.
Yes.
What do you have to say about that whole angle, though?
It was really interesting. You know, it was because, like Dan was saying, it almost felt like it was like you were like, what am I doing? What's happening here?
Exactly.
These guys can't be. They don't. These universes don't exist in the same plane. You know,
yeah.
Like these are two things that don't ever, you don't mix WCW with WWF. That doesn't work, you know, and for two companies to like have some crossover, it was like, what am I doing? So
now,
it was really interesting. I talked about, it's like the first time something like this happened.
Wasn't that the night that he literally busted Tommy Dreamer's testicle?
It could have been later on. Yeah, he yeah, it was. No, it was a different time. It was with Cornette there. Because Cornette became part of the
That's right.
So it wasn't the initial night. I believe it was a month later when they came back.
But it was that same angle where he literally had to go to the hospital to drain fluid from his testicle.
Yeah, yeah.
Yummy. Okay,
it was a kendo stick shot right to the balls.
Extreme.
It was. Now, that's extreme, having fluid drained from your testicle.
And wasn't it like, didn't he say it was pretty much like a full vial of a long needle about a foot long, just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, goddammit.
Yeah, just thinking about that. So, yeah, really? So I think I'd be remiss, though, if we didn't bring up the mass transit incident.
Ugh.
Which almost killed ECW's chances for ever getting on pay-per-view. For those that don't know, the mass transit incident was a fat kid dressing up like a bus driver. And he somehow had the endorsement from a local indie guy saying that he was of age. Paulie put him on the show with Devon Dudley to take on the original gangsters. And that's, of course, Mustafa and probably the craziest man in the world, New Jack. What happened after then? He was backstage talking to New Jack, and he was coming up with spots. Now, this was a 17-year-old kid saying, this is what I want to do in the match. And New Jack was just kind of smiling, shaking his head, saying, sure, we'll do that, we'll do that. And then he made the biggest mistake of his life, besides gastric bypass surgery.
Tried to kill him.
Well, the biggest mistake was he wanted to bleed.
Oh, yeah, bad idea, yeah.
And he didn't want to cut himself. So he asked New Jack to cut him.
And you know what? He's a real polite guy, and I'm sure totally offered.
New Jack, his smile became huge.
All right, man, I'll do that, motherfucker.
You know, his smile became huge. And during the match, he pulled out this weapon I can only describe as...
A knife.
Yeah, a knife is probably the best way to describe it. And cut him from forehead, from temple to temple. It was one of the worst cuts I've ever seen outside of the Mafia.
Dude, he was, I mean.
Have you ever seen the tape? It was on YouTube for years.
Yes.
I have never seen someone's forehead spurt blood like that.
Oh, it was worse than Flair in every single match he ever cut his face on.
Yeah, it's one of those things you watch, and it's like you're watching Faces of Death or something.
Oh, my God, yes.
And I'm like, why would this kid, when you find out the story, you're like, why would this kid even
he wanted to die.
Why would he ask? And you can hear the father. But the other thing was, New Jack delivered a top rope, off the top rope, I guess best way to say it is a splash, with a chair onto the kid after his head's already in pieces, just kind of flapping there. His forehead's just flapping in the wind. And he did a dive with a chair on top of him and really laid it into him. I mean, just splat. So that almost killed ECW's chances for being on pay-per-view.
Everybody started dropping out.
Well, yeah, all the advertisers. Well, they didn't have many advertisers anyway.
All three of them.
Yeah, they were paying for the time pretty much on what was that channel they were on, Dan?
WGTW, Channel 19, Philadelphia, Wilmington.
Thank you.
No problem.
And so they basically just had their hardcore TV show, and it almost killed their chances. But, of course, then the Lawler angle, and they finally did get back on pay-per-view. Were very successful for years until the very end. They get a TV deal. Things are looking up.
Whoa.
Am I skipping a few things you
want to... I was going to say, are we going to fast-forward that much?
Well, go ahead. What do you want to bring up?
I was going to say, another angle that I loved in ECW involving Tommy Dreamer is started with the Dudley Boys, and when they 3D'd Beulah, breaking her neck.
She was out of the business after
she
that.
She was out of the business after that, which, you know, I'll never forget, as long as I live, the image of Tommy, who's handcuffed to the rope. I mean, this is powerful TV, guys. Handcuffed to the ropes, trying to get out of the handcuffs, screaming for his wife.
Yeah.
And that was powerful television. That, you didn't see that crap. You didn't see that on crap WWE or WCW Nitro.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree with that. A lot of things that they did during that time really pushed the envelope. You had a lot of attacks on women, whether that's good or bad. You had a lot of hardcore angles, obviously. You had a lot of good wrestling, too.
Kimono Wanalea dancing on top of the arena.
Yeah.
Well, that's, clearly, that's one of the greatest things about ECW, just real quick. Their own DVD commercials on their show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that and the very independent, and I was going to say that earlier, I thank you for saying that, it reminded me, it was another reason why that company was the way it was, is the wrestlers did the work. Not only did they did the work in the ring, and did the work, they did the work backstage, they did the work over the phones, they did the work on the website, they did the work on the promos. It was homemade, end of story.
Yeah. They sent out the orders for the T-shirts. They made the T-shirts, made the DVDs. Everything about ECW was homegrown. And a lot of those guys learn how to run a company. Apparently not Shane. But a lot of those guys learn how to run a company.
apparently not Buff Bagwell.
Yeah. Still on a feeding tube.
Can't drive.
Yeah. Anyway. So,
go ahead.
You know what? Maybe now's the time to, like, what was... First of all, I guess, and I'll start with Mark and then Dan, what was your favorite angle during the whole ECW era?
I live for this one angle. It was the triple threat brings Lance Storm in.
Ooh.
And Candido and him win the tag team titles.
Yeah.
But they hated each other.
But then they kick Lance Storm out of the triple threat, and they're like, no. You guys still have to be tag team champions. No, you, just because you hate each other doesn't mean you get out of it. And it was such a great match every time they wrestled. And it was such an interesting idea that to this day, I'm surprised it hasn't happened again.
Mm.
That is a really good point. That's kind of something you kind of forget about, too, that entire angle with the triple threat.
Like, they kicked them out, brought Bam Bam back in. Like, there was, like, a whole, like, trick to get. It was so... Once again, it was. I always feel like their plot lines were less cheap. Like, they had their cheesy plot lines. They had their fun plot lines, mm-hmm. your BWO. But mm-hmm. when you had a serious plot line going on, it was, like, twisty and
like
funny.
Like I said, damn good television.
Mm-hmm. So, Dan, what's yours?
For that. Plus, put Chris Candido and Lance Storm together. Come on, man.
Well, first of all, put Chris Candido on anything and I'll watch it.
He was that good.
Even the operating table.
And you know what? Shane Douglas last night did put over Chris Candido. He said he was the best wrestler that he's ever worked with. And that's a hell of a compliment.
He had the best voice in wrestling, too.
Yeah. Kind of that goofy. Yeah.
He really did. Oh, let me tell you something. I'm going to come over there and I'm going to kick your ass.
But here, like, ECW is like the perfect example of... how people just get wasted. Like, they are just like, oh, they waste these talents. Like,
ooh.
Shane Douglas was Dean Douglas.
Sorry.
Chris Candido was Body Donna Skip.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Body Donna is, oh my God.
Why waste your time? Why don't just make some people wrestlers sometimes?
Like they did.
Not everyone has to have a storyline that, like, oh, they're a lawyer. And they wrestle on the side. No.
I'm Jerry Lawler's dentist.
Yeah. Kind of like Grey Wolf is now on the independent scene. I had to throw that in there because some of my listeners really enjoy Grey Wolf, but...
Some of my listeners are... Yeah.
Well, you know what I meant, but...
Your listeners are my listeners. Now.
Mikasa Tsukasa.
Mikasa Tsukasa, mother effer.
But I'll tell you what, Grey Wolf, just going off on a little bit of a tangent, is horrible! Anyway, that's a shout out for Eric Hill. I hope he's listening. He can call in anytime. But anyway, shout out for Butters. But
Butters.
He has his own podcast now. Everybody has a podcast.
Everybody has a podcast, but ours is the only real one.
Well, you know, we're doing a lot. We're doing
it's still real. Damn it.
It is
still real to a lot of people.
Before you go on.
No, it's your angle. What's your angle?
Okay, fine. I'll do my thing. My favorite, I'm just going to be a fan, a front runner and say Raven Tommy Dreamer.
So that entire 2 year thing.
I loved it.
It's really good, though.
It's just. And maybe even Sandman Raven taking his son.
I was going to say Sandman Raven.
Just Raven got under the skin of me so bad.
I loved him so much.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
He was
such a good
bad guy.
Every time Tommy Dreamer lost, I was like, yes, he lost again. He'll never beat him.
And what's amazing is when Lawler did invade, that was the last Tommy Dreamer Raven match for a good 4 or 5 years, and Tommy Dreamer finally won.
Yeah, and so, it was like, oh, I've done it, I've finally done it. Oh my God, the lights shut off, it's all over.
Yeah, and then he gets attacked by RVD. And
so mine's probably Raven Dreamer, and then Raven Sandman.
I'm going to go into Raven Sandman. You had a lot of things happen there, and you want to talk about compelling TV. You had Sandman's son joins the flock, you know, and his son was only, what, at the time, like seven years old?
Seven. Yeah.
And you have him come
and
out.
And he acted better than Jake Lloyd in Star Wars.
But he comes out with the leather jacket on in the Raven garb, and he says, you know, I hate you, Daddy.
Raven's my daddy now.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if that didn't pull at you, even being a son or the father, if you were older and you were someone's father, you know what I'm saying? It just, that just was like, oh, I'm going to kill that guy.
And it led to the crucifixion angle as well, that Kurt Angle walked out on and said, if you ever use my image, I'm going to sue you, Paul. How dare you?
Now, excuse me if I have a drink.
Yeah, he's another one now, right? But, oh, my goodness, you just had so many things come out of that angle. So my favorite angle is, without a doubt, Sandman and Raven and the Flock.
Yeah, the original Flock, not the W Flock.
Yeah, the Stevie Richards and Blue Meanie. What became the BWO, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Supernova.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a perfect example of ECW having a serious character with a serious storyline, and you have the joke angles around it, and yet they still didn't interfere in the main storyline.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, joke storylines were right there on top. The Blue Meanie was there.
Yep.
Or
the blue guy.
Wasn't hilarious.
Yeah. Does anybody remember in this area Pile Driver, the Rock and Wrestling Radio Show?
No.
Mark?
No idea what you're talking about.
They had a lot of ECW guys on. It was a syndicated show all over the country, but it was mainly housed in New York and at MMR.
Okay.
And they interviewed a lot of the ECW guys towards the end. They had, like, over and over, just one week after another, it was a different ECW guy there at ECW events. And those interviews, on screen, what you saw, but off screen, were just... They just were they sounded like they were having a better time.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I guess we should go into our favorite matches from ECW. Who wants to kick that one off?
I'll go first because I won't pick a great, because like I said, the only time I watched it, quote unquote, live was early 97 on. I gotta pick the first RVD Jerry Lynn.
Okay.
I just gotta pick that one. The one that's all over all the DVD. And yes, I still have my original ECW DVDs.
Okay.
Once that company shut down, I'm like, well, these are getting put away. I'm not giving these away.
Yeah.
The same with WCW. I have all my original WCW VHS. But that match, I can watch that match over and over again every day of my life just to, like, I need to wake up, put this match on. All right, good morning.
Okay, how about you, Mark?
It was exciting. It was high-flying. I mean, the blood, it was awesome. I don't have, you
know. I actually would like to talk about that match just real quick. I think the best part about the Jerry Lynn RVD thing was that it was a divide, you know? RVD was the heel, but I hated Jerry Lynn. I hated everything about him.
Really?
Yes, I agree with you 100%.
I hated the way he carried himself. And the only reason was, like, he was a great wrestler, but I just loathed Jerry Lynn. Just, like, ugh, just drove me insane because he was, like, ugh, ugh.
I liked Jerry Lynn when he was Mr. JL under the mask in WCW. And I was always a fan. And the fact that ECW gave him what you thought at the time was his last big push, it was really a great time for to be a fan and to see somebody who – and even last night, he – of everybody that was involved, he was and Devin Storm as well, they still have it. I think it was great. Now, my favorite match, I was second row, as I said, is Born to be Wired. Happened in August of 1997. And it was Terry Funk, the hardcore icon, against Sabu. Title change, no rope, barbed wire match.
Such a good match.
Just having the experience. Now, you know, in retrospect, looking back at it, it's kind of a sloppy mess and whatever it is. But of all the matches I've seen live, that was probably the one most memorable. I can still remember it from seeing it. At the show, as if I was still second row, as if I was still there. And my goodness. And I was a huge Sabu mark, and I hope he's doing fine. Of course, he was hospitalized.
Yeah.
Allergic reaction to medication. But I would have to say, big Sabu mark. And when he wins the title, that was an amazing moment to be a fan and just an amazing moment to be part of that live. And you can see me on the DVD, all the DVD releases that it's on. I'm on the TV side. So I'm
all of your cheap plug.
Yeah. I'm off to the left-hand side. Eventually when they whip to the ropes or show that side, you'll see me there. But just an amazing match. Now greatest moment of the ECW era. It's not the same as an angle, like the greatest moment, the holy S moment, if you will.
Oh. And once again, it's one of those things where I've only seen like the bits and pieces of it, but the chairs. When all the chairs just go whizzing into
the
ring.
Okay, that was Cactus Jack, Terry Funk, I forget.
Yeah, that it's just like how did that happen?
You know, Terry Funk was in the ring and he was waving his arms just kind of like in an upward motion. And the fans took that as a invitation, if you will, to throw in the chairs.
Because that's universal sign for throw me all your chairs.
He did it again in Japan and it worked. So.
Oh my gosh. It's just, it's one of those moments where it's like, it feels unreal.
And it was. It definitely was. One of those moments that you can never replicate properly. So, my goodness. My greatest moment is most likely... goodness. Greatest moment was probably Jerry Lawler. You know, the clip we played earlier. Because that was one of those things that, while, like you guys were saying, wow, what is going on? My goodness. Now, we'd also be remiss. Dan's having a few technical difficulties. He'll be right back, I do believe. But we're almost out of – well, not out of time because we can do whatever we want. But I'll tell you what – I forget where I was going. Oh, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the end of ECW. And here's a promo that – people call a shoot. I think it was. It's Paul Heyman talking about the TV deal.
And since this show apparently is going to make air this week, I'd like to take this moment to thank you for watching ECW. You have to be an ECW fan to watch this show because God knows the network has never put out one freaking commercial or one press release to let you know that we're here. But that's their scheme of things. You see, in just a few weeks, the network is going to give $100 million to Vince McMahon, like he needs it, to replace us. in case they haven't thrown us off before then. And the fact of the matter is, we're not a publicly funded company like Vince McMahon or WCW. We survive or even thrive on your support, and for that, we thank you. Now, in an industry where everybody wants to be real and everybody wants to do a shoot, this, my friends, is a shoot. We hate this sinking network. We hate their guts for abandoning us. We hate their guts for not supporting us. We hate their guts for not advertising us. And we hate their guts for not having the balls to throw us off the air. And just in case you're watching this, hey, network, I dare you to throw me off the air. Because I'm going to break every rule that you put in front of me until you throw me the hell off the air. Now this, my friends, is a shoot. You better take that $100 million that you're going to give Vince McMahon, and you better spend it on attorneys, because I promise you, network, the war has just begun.
Okay, so Mark, what's your reaction to Paul Heyman shooting on his own network?
It's one of those things where, once again, I keep saying surreal now. Like, it just feels unreal, but...
It's a good word.
There's so many things in ECW that just don't feel like your conventional moves. And, like, it's one of those things where he's absolutely right. You know, he didn't get the push that he needed. That they could have been the third company. You know, we could be down to two companies now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just never, like, just a lot of bad luck, schlep rock kind of stuff. But... That's serious. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
he did that and got away with it again. And like, it was, I guess it's really the interview that kind of sums up ECW. You know, it's the best shoot interview to end it.
Yeah. I mean, I was so happy when they got signed with TNN. I was like, yes, finally we're going to shake it up here. Because WCW, quite frankly, at that point was pretty stale. Well, pretty stale. It was awful. It was almost awful. It was god-awful. And here you had this news, and ECW is going to be on network TV. Well, that's it. I mean, the game is going to change again. Game over. You got a new you got the big three now. And what was the original contract? Does anybody know? Was it at least a year?
It was at least a year. I think it might have been... No, it was a year. It was a year.
You had a year to build an audience, to get people behind the product, and then shake it up. And then, well, as you just played, it just it fell apart almost as soon as it got started. I mean, the first episode that they produced, as we know, and it's mostly on the DVD, was not what they wanted. And they told him to change. He's like, phew, I'm going to do something completely different. And he airs the Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn match.
Yeah. He had a lot of difficulty from the very beginning.
And he's right. I don't care. Anybody says he's 100% right about that situation. They screwed him three ways till Sunday. And he was like, I'm going to screw you back any way I can.
Yeah.
And
now,
that's
Dan,
when...
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, man.
I was just going to say you were having a bit of some difficulties there. What was your favorite match and moment from ECW?
I didn't do match.
Did you do match?
I did Jerry Lynn RVD.
Okay. Your favorite moment then.
My favorite moment. I'm not going to ask what you guys pick. I'll go back and listen. I'm going to say that really that 3D to Beulah.
Okay.
Not because she got – because the woman got 3D. It just – at that point in the feud, it was like, oh, my God.
They really upped it.
And they really – like, it's all over, Tommy. And then at this point, at my age, I'm like, no, this is real. It's still real to me. And he's going to get out of those cuffs, and when he gets out, he's going
to
kill those guys.
It's still real to me, damn it.
He's going to get out of there, and he's going to kill those guys. And just – again, and I know you guys know what I'm talking about. The look on the camera angle, him screaming, trying to get out of those cuffs, just is when I think about ECW, the first thing I think about is him screaming for his wife. And just, oh, damn good TV. Hashtag.
Yeah, and the other thing about he was close to tears. He was very, very emotional, of course. So I all good moments that we picked. Dan, you'll have to go back and listen. But any last words about ECW?
I need it back. It's wrestling, unfortunately. TNA Impact is not going to do it.
Not with the leadership they have, no.
We need a company like ECW and not CZW. They are not it. ECW is needed badly in this company. There needs to be an indie wrestling company to shake things up again. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree at this point.
My final words is walking into that building. I was not there as much as you were. I was there maybe 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
The atmosphere that you were going to die. Like, I'm going to die before I get out of this building.
Yeah.
The feeling of being around those people, though, about how many that hold? Like 800? Not even?
They would max it out around, in their heyday, about 1,300.
Being around that crowd and just cheering for the same thing, the chance that there was not a wrestling crowd like it ever and since.
And even last night, the crowd was still very hot. So.
Right, that little pocket, when they would go there and to the Hammerstein Ballroom, or was it the Hammerstein Ballroom? That little theater place in New York.
Hammerstein.
It was Hammerstein. That atmosphere, you will never get again, I don't think. And the fact that, that's why I wanted to bring it up, the fact that as of this month, they're tearing the walls down of that building. Just pretty much sums it up. It's over.
Yeah.
Those are my final words. The building's
it's
coming
still
down.
Real to me, damn it.
And just like the WCCW, when the Sportatorium got started taken down, it was like, wow, that's it. That's it.
And that's, you know, and that's probably one of the biggest parts of that world class documentary. Not the WWE produced one, the one that Heroes of World Class, I think it's called. And it's very poignant. They go inside and look.
Yeah, that song, too.
Yeah, they go inside. ECW Arena was one of those places. It was a mecca of wrestling, and it was a fraternity, if you will. And we'll discuss this more with John Finnegan when he's on Wednesday. Mark, what's your last words and thoughts on the legacy of ECW?
It's always going to have, like, a special place. Like I said, like that music sounding like the mid-90s. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The bookend, it really encapsulates a time and, like, a feeling of wrestling. And the things that it did for wrestling, it's a better place for having had ECW.
Yeah, it really is. Without ECW...
Except for the pay-per-view tonight.
Yeah. Let's not even talk about that. But the thing about ECW, without it, wrestling, for better or for worse, would have never been the same. And I think that's the main point of why we did the show, why we're talking about it now. Even years later, 10 years, 15 years later, 20 years later, it still has an important place in the history of pro wrestling. When we have Joel Goodhart on, he'll give us some talks about that, the original TWA, all that stuff. But really, ECW to me was just a special time, a special place. Marion, my girl, and myself, we had some great times at the old arena. Except for the Ben Gay incident that I'll bring up on a later episode. She's giving me that look right now.
She told me about that.
Yeah, the Ben Gay incident. The the fat guy with Ben Gay mixed with ass.
That's pretty much what the building smelled like, though.
Maybe it was the building.
I mean, listen, we're saying that, but you know what?
That's what memories smell like.
Yeah, it really is. You whip out an old yearbook, smells like weed. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Oh, my God.
It really is the end of something. I don't care who you are. If you're listening to this, you're in the sound of my voice, what you think of wrestling. That is the end of something special. That it, building come down this week, this month.
Yeah, it really is. And another incident, you know, the riot that I talk about in Bluebell. Marion was injured during that time. She just got over a ankle injury, and she was still using crutches, right? She's right. still using crutches. A fan hits Balls yep. Mahoney, and a riot erupts on the other side, thank God, of where we were. I believe five or six police departments were dispatched. When we go out after the show, there's just cop cars everywhere. It looked like the FBI just was dispatched. But memories like that, you know.
Yeah.
Memories like that are just what makes it. I'm not saying every wrestling show should end in a riot, or every wrestling show should have a fat guy that smells like Ben Gay and ass, but
I smell turkey.
it was a moment in time, and it's a place in time, and it was a special time. And people, let me just throw this out there, people who just piss on the legacy of ECW, and they think they're in the business because they hold a camera, because certain people might not be able to get someone else to do it on a consistent basis, doesn't mean that you know anything about the goddamn business. Okay? So if you're listening, you know who you are, shut the fuck up about ECW. And yeah, I broke my own rule. I cursed, but shut the fuck up about ECW. You don't know. You were 10 years old. How I know that? Public records. So shut up, or I'll talk some more.
Actually, I think Paulie just took over your body.
A little bit.
So who are we talking about?
I'm not going into that. I made a promise to certain people, but off the air, I'll be glad to fill
you. Oh, you're going to talk.
I will.
And whoever that was, fuck you.
Exactly. I'm breaking my own rule. We're not on the Brady Hicks this week.
It's absurd!
It is. It is, really. Now, so my final words, I think I got them out. ECW was special. Okay, this week we have John Finnegan coming on. I already know my first question to Finnegan, and it kind of ties into that. So
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it will be. So John Finnegan will be on, and it's a special ECWA Divide and Conquer preview show. We're going to be blessed by his presence, the Greek god Papadon.
I'm scared.
You should be. You never know what's going to happen on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, so you do want to listen to that as well, because Papadon will be talking about that dirty Mexican, Kakoa the Flying Hawaiian. And
also listen later on, Dean and I will be live on the Tony Lane Show midnight.
Midnight tonight, because we just can't do it prime time.
No. Because we just can't do it prime time.
Anyway.
Are we live?
Not right now, no.
Oh, balls.
Yeah. But for everyone, throw out your own plugs. I guess your Twitters and what you're involved in.
Oh, my turn. Twitter.com/DanLaw83. Follow me. I'll follow you.
Team follow back.
Team follow. Oh. I'm a... at Go Thompson, and of course, well, you know, I know you'll be listening to this in the future now, but tonight at 9, the last stop airs, wgls.rowan.edu.
What do you got playing tonight? What do you got playing tonight, Mark?
Just a lot of indie rock. I'm going to play Lucero. I'm going to talk about that show I went to last week, which was super good, except for the second headliner, Deer Tick, who was audio... oh, what's the term I always use? Oh, an audio abortion.
Oh, there you go. You can find me at hellinacell.wordpress.com. You can find me Facebook. It's really the Facebook-like page is more a hub of information for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio and whatever else I do. You can find that at facebook.com/cellinahell. You can also find me at Folsom County. And that's at Folsom County on Twitter, and also HIAC Talk Radio, at HIAC Talk Radio on Twitter. So a lot of exciting things. Besides this week, we have more stuff planned. I'll talk about more about that. We have a special interview on the 17th. I will begin releasing details in just a couple of days.
After he lets the guy out of his basement?
Yeah, after I've broken his will.
You will do this interview!
I don't know anything about Centralia. Why? But anyway.
It's not there.
That's going to be
on fire.
Yeah, but that's going to be awesome. So for Dan, for Mark, for myself, for Marion, who is making a special appearance, but you couldn't hear.
Let's go Flyers.
It was a fun show. I'm going to be interested to listen back to it. We had our first caller. That's always awesome. So
awesome.
Until next, not next week, until Wednesday at 9:30 p.m., we will see you then.